This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk baseball, and Russell Dorsey has been so good to us. He joins us from Yahoo Sports to talk about the grand old game. Russell, how are you today, sir?
What's going on, guys? How are we feeling?
We are excellent. Thank you very much. Happy 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run. I don't know that you're not old enough, but I am. I saw it when it happened. But I think we need to take a minute, you know, in baseball especially, history is such a big part of this game and what Hank meant to it and what that home run record still means to people today, even though, interestingly, he doesn't hold the record anymore.
Yeah, I think when you look at the history of baseball and how we reflect on things, we're always going to have baseball. We're always going to have new kids born every year and kids that don't know about Hank Aaron. And I think it's really important to celebrate these moments that are so important to the history of the game, but also celebrate those people. Like Hank Aaron is one of the all-time greats, a GOAT, not only in the history of Major League Baseball, but in, you know, the history of African-American players in Major League Baseball. I think that's really important as we have conversations about, you know, the decrease in African-American players in the game. The fact that African-American history is such a big part of baseball's history. And so I think it's always very important to remind people who may not know, kids who are growing up, who are fans of the game that want to learn about the game, contrary to popular belief. It's really important for us to continue to look back and say, this was one of the great players, but also people we've ever seen.
No doubt about it. Well said, Russ. One of the teams that you covered for a while is the Chicago Cubs. They're coming to town here against the Padres. I mean, what have you made of their early season? They're 6-3, off to a pretty good start. I mean, what do you make of this ball club so far?
Well, they've been able to put runs on the board, right? You have a Dodgers team that I've seen a couple of times, both here in Chicago and out in L.A., to start the season. And you guys know that team is absolutely loaded and the team that people would probably put on paper as the World Series winner right now. And they played them tough, won 2 out of 3 games. The offense was there. You got caught. Guys like, you know, obviously Cody Bellinger had a big series of teams. Like every time he plays his old team, he wakes up for those games. But you're getting a lot of production from Seiya Suzuki. You're getting production from Christopher Morel. Michael Busch, who was a top prospect for the Dodgers for a long time, finally get his chance to play in the big leagues with the Cubs over at first base. Dansby Swanson has had a really nice start to the season. So it's been the offense that's really carried the Cubs while they've tried to figure out the starting pitching side. Obviously, they lost their opening day starter, Justin Steele, to a hamstring injury during that first start of the year. But it's the offense. And I think that was the thing for me coming in this year. Is like, all right, with Shota Imanaga, with Justin Steele, the Cubs would probably be solid with their starting pitching. But would they be able to score enough runs, not only to win their division, but to compete with some of the big boys in the National League? And so far, through the first couple of weeks, they have been able to do that.
Russell Dorsey, Yahoo Sports baseball expert, and I don't say that lightly. He joins us here on Gwen and Chris. The Yankees are 8-2. That's a little bit of a surprise, but not that big when you compare it to the Pirates being 8-2. It's not just Pittsburgh, but which of the early season surprises? Detroit's off to a nice little start. Boston was picked last. They've won 7-10, and they haven't even played at Fenway Park yet. Anybody you like in the early going that you think can sustain something this year, Russell?
Yeah, I do look at what the Yankees have been able to do so far this year. And one player stands out to me, and it's not Aaron Judge, and it's not Juan Soto. Both, who one, I love that duo and that combination, and I think that would be a fantastic duo for the next 10 years for the Yankees. It's Anthony Volpe, their starting shortstop, a guy who last season came to the big league level, and he struggled, right? Like, bar none, he struggled. Defensively, he was very strong, and I think that was probably the reason that he didn't get demoted to AAA, because he was so strong defensively. And he didn't let that offense carry over into the field. But I think when you look at the changes that he made to his swing, the setup looks a little bit different. The swing obviously looks different. He's making consistent hard contact. He's starting to tap into that power. Even though he's not a big guy, he did, you know, scouted as a guy who did have some power in there. He's tapping into that, and he looks like the top prospect that many people thought he would be coming into last season. So, We already know what we're going to get out of Aaron Judge. You already know what you're going to get out of Juan Soto. And Giancarlo Stanton is going to be a guy that, when healthy, is going to hit a lot of home runs for you in the middle of that lineup. Same thing with Anthony Rizzo. But if you can get a guy like Anthony Volpe at that 5, 6, 7 spot in that order to be a guy that has an 800, 820, 850 OPS, that makes that lineup a lot tougher, because you look at what makes the Dodgers special. Yes, they have Mookie and they have Shohei and they have Freddie Freeman, but it's the fact that they have a guy in Teoscar Hernandez hitting 5th or 6th. The fact that they have a guy like Max Muncy hitting 5th or 6th, or sometimes not even starting, like that matters. And it's daunting for opposing pitching to say, man, all right, we made it through that top three. Oh man, we got Volpe. We have Osvaldo Cabrera, who's been a guy that's had a really nice start for them. So I think he adds a lot to that depth, and Anthony Volpe could be a guy that is in the All-Star game for the Yankees this year.
Russell Dorsey joins us here, Yahoo Sports. And Russ, I want to go back to the Cubs, because obviously they're in town. You mentioned their offense, and they've got their normal guys in that lineup in terms of Bellinger, and you mentioned Swanson. But you brought up the young Michael Bush, who's having a good start. Christopher Morel, who came on the scenes a couple years back blazing, has all of a sudden found his offensive stroke, at least early on. Are those two guys, can they sustain this? I think that's the question that, in terms of lengthening this lineup out, I think will have to be answered, correct?
For sure. And I think the thing for me with Christopher Morel, he's one of those guys that is a tweener in that he doesn't necessarily have a position, but the bat could be special, so you're trying to figure out ways to get him in the lineup. So if they didn't have a second baseman, he would play second base. And, you know, before they got Dansby Swanson, he did play a little bit of second base. But now you have a Gold Glove caliber second baseman in Nico Hoerner. You have a guy that's won a Gold Glove in Dansby Swanson, actually 2 Gold Gloves. And so it's like, all right, well, if you don't have a third baseman, you can pencil him in at third base, and that power plays a lot more. Like, guys, for the people out there, Christopher Morel hit 37 home runs between AAA and the big leagues last year. So you got to find a way to get that power into the lineup, especially for a team that needs that offensively. And then with Michael Bush, I think he's had a really solid start to the season. And I think the benefit that he has is that he's an older prospect, hasn't played a full year in the big leagues yet, even though he's been a top prospect for a while now. And so I think he has an opportunity to sustain that. And I don't think they're looking for Michael Bush to be a 30 home run guy at first base, but if you can hit 280, 290, get on base at a 330, 340 clip and offer some power and be solid defensively, I think they would be very happy with that. And I think that would be a great first start for Michael Bush in his first season in the big leagues.
Cubs are off to a good start, and they're coming into town to take on the Padres starting tonight. Russell, bigger picture question. You had the injuries this weekend to the pitchers. I mean, losing Spencer Strider, Shane Bieber, Yuri Perez, and that adds to a list which is, you know, really a who's who. Shohei Ohtani can't pitch. Jacob DeGrom, Sandy Alcantara, Robbie Ray, and I'm leaving some pretty good ones out of there. Baseball needs to take notice of this. I don't know that anybody has the answer yet. What are your thoughts on how baseball goes about trying to get some of this to slow down?
Yeah, it's really sad, because you rattle off an all-star team of names there, right? With you're hoping for the best with Spencer Strider, but with everything we've heard, it doesn't sound like we're going to get a happy ending to that story. And, you know, Kyle Bradish, who was a great story for the Baltimore Orioles last year, same thing. It's difficult because I think we're looking for an answer where there's not a black and white answer to why this is happening. And it's something I thought of this weekend, the last couple of days, of like, all right, there's obviously a story here to write about with arm injuries in Major League Baseball, but where do you look, right? Do you start grassroots and with youth baseball? Well, yeah, I think you look there and like, all right, are we pushing kids too hard? Are we making the arm do things that it shouldn't do at early ages? Yes, well, maybe. But then you get to the big league level, it's like people want to blame pitch clock. People want to blame velocity. And it's something I actually asked Cubs manager Craig Counsell about yesterday, where it's like, well, the problem with demonizing velocity is we're not in a day and age where 89, 90 miles an hour is going to, one, get you to the big leagues, and two, you're not going to be able to necessarily get hitters today out with 89, 90 miles an hour. Like, guys are so geared up where you're seeing 90 miles an hour as a 13-year-old. Once you, by the time you get to the big leagues, you've seen that so much, it's going to be very hard to get out as a just a 89, 90 command control guy. So I think there's a lot of different places you can look for an answer. And I think the other thing, guys, teams have tried it so many different ways to try to protect guys, yet you get to the same results. Like, for the Miami Marlins, they're probably sitting scratching their head like, okay, you tried to cap Eury Pérez's innings last year to help protect him, Tommy John surgery. And then 2 years before that, Sandy Alcantara went out and threw as many complete games as we've seen a pitcher throw in the last decade, went off to win the NL Cy Young Award, Tommy John surgery. So I don't know what the answer is. If I did, I'd be a much richer man than I am. And I think there are a lot of people around Major League Baseball that are looking for answers, because it is concerning when you have names like DeGrom and Ohtani and Bradish and Ray and Spencer Strider, who I think a lot of people had pegged for winning the Cy Young Award this year in the National League, and not having those guys in the game is a bad thing.
Yeah, it opens up really a ton of avenues, Russ. I mean, you've heard John Smoltz mention the whole redlining thing. How much of the onus, you know, is this on the teams? Because you mentioned the young kids.
Yeah.
At least in my experience, they take their cues from the big guys, from the big leagues, right? I think we're seeing all of the stuff that is happening at the big league level trickle down now to the younger levels. And we are seeing injuries, and it seems like at a very high clip. And maybe in today's athlete, right, that if you're throttling down a little bit, it's not 90. It's not 89. Maybe now it's like 93, 94.
Right.
Which you can still get guys out with. It's a very interesting conversation because, you know, there's a lot of these. I liken it to quarterbacks in the NFL. These pitchers are going down, and they're kind of the guys that you want out there every fifth day because people want to see them pitch.
Yeah, we're talking about big dogs, right?
Yeah.
List of names we mentioned are guys who finished top five in Cy Young Award voting. Like, we're not talking about back-end starters here. And so that's definitely something, if you're a team, especially a team that competed for the World Series, like Garrett Cole, that's a name we didn't mention. That's a guy that I want out there as much as possible. And when he's not, the Yankees aren't as good of a team. And I think the other thing is maybe less about the fastball, maybe more about breaking balls, right? Where
you
have kids that want to snap these nasty sliders that they're seeing on Pitching Ninja and sweepers, et cetera. And so that's another area where it's like, all right, have we gotten so breaking ball heavy? Have we gotten so breaking ball focused where it's just like, well, once I get to, I'm trying to get to 0-2 as fast as possible so I can wipe you out with this nasty breaking stuff. And maybe that's another area where it's like, oh, this could be in a small way a part of a bigger conversation. But I think all these things play into this issue, and I think teams have tried, especially for the last decade, as we've seen, you know, injuries in terms of organizations rise. But a lot of these guys, if you start to look, have had Tommy John surgery, whether it was high school, whether it was college. You know, like a guy like Walker Buehler coming back for the Los Angeles Dodgers, he's coming back and, you know, on a rehab assignment right now off his second Tommy John surgery. right? Like, you look at, like, Dustin May. You look at Nathan Eovaldi, who's been able to come back and pitch really well after multiple Tommy John surgeries. I think that's what teams are trying to avoid, where it's like, all right, if you have one, okay, but you don't want guys having two and three Tommy John surgeries, because not only are you putting guys at risk, but it's like, well, how do we salvage what was once a very talented player?
Yeah, and just as we talk about it, Framber Valdez is scratched from his start tonight for the Astros with a sore elbow. So let's hope that that's nothing. We'd need all day to try to figure it out, and even that wouldn't be enough. But Russell, always great catching up to you. Love talking baseball with you, and hope we talk to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Russ.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You betcha. Russell Dorsey right there with some very knowledgeable stuff on baseball from Yahoo Sports. We'll take a quick time out here as we get to the top of the hour. We've got Daily Gambit headed your way next. How are we going to pick tonight's UConn-Purdue national championship game? How did things go over the weekend? We'll find out. As Gwen and Chris gets rolling here with Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.